The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, to critical thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in the text, Genesis chapter 8, where we'll pick up with the exegesis of verse 13 and 14. Relatively short, so have the doctrine of patience at hand. We can get to it. If you don't burn up before then, it's not quite as warm this evening. All right, before we begin, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary so that you can have God the Holy Spirit in his proper place of rulership over the real you to enlighten you and guide you and direct you to all truth as so designed. So with that in mind, we'll start with our usual word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for the veracity of your words, that we can depend upon you and your immutability, and that God the Holy Spirit will once again this evening enlighten us to truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, verses 13 and 14 here in the section, this section of the flood, immediately preceding the disembarking of the ark. We have two final chronological notations, chronological high points, if you will, for the disembarking. Looking here at the Hebrew. Now it came about in the 601st year, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Now it came to pass as the wow consecutive with the cal and perfect third masculine singular, our verb hayah. H-A-Y-A-H. Come to pass. Came about. In is a preposition bait, followed with the adjective feminine singular construct, eshad. E-S-H-A-D, for first, in the first, of, in the construct. Then you have the wow conjunction, adjective feminine singular construct, our number six, shesh, S-H-E-S-H, in the first, and on the six of, then 100 is the adjective feminine plural, me'ah. M-E-A-H. Year is our noun, common feminine singular absolute, Shana. S-H-A-N-A-H. Then in the first, the phrase in the first, you have the preposition bait, repeated, definite article. Then our adjective for first here, masculine singular absolute, Rishon, R-I. S-H-O-N. First or chief or head, as it may be in context. Month is understood here, obviously. Then on the first of the month, in the first month, then on the first of the month, so the first day of the first month, preposition bait. Again, akkad, repeated. Here, Akkad, E-C-H-A-D. Let's see here. Yeah, I mistranslated the first one. It's C-C-H-A-D. on the first... Then you have the preposition lamed plus a definite article and our noun for month on the first of the month, Kodesh. C-H-O-D-E-S-H. In the Hebrew, you have the verb they dried up. It's the cal perfect third common plural. Karab. C-H-A-R-A-B. Wad dried up with the definite article as a noun, common masculine plural absolute. Mayim, waters, M-A-Y-I-M. From upon the earth is a preposition men, followed with your preposition all, M-I-M, and A-L, definite article, then our noun, common feminine singular absolute for earth, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. Well, consecutive, then the verb here in the hifil, which is causative, imperfect, third masculine singular. We had the verb sarah, sarah, S-A-R-A-H. He turned aside or removed, as it may be. That being Noah, the proper noun, Noach, N-O-A-C-H. Then you had the sign of the direct object. And our word for covering here is a common masculine singular construct noun, mikesa, M-I-K-E-S-E-H. The covering of the ark, definite article, common feminine singular noun, tebah, T-E-B-A-H, word for ark. And looked and behold, you had a wow consecutive. The verb cow, imperfect third masculine singular. Our word to see, look, ra'ah, R-A-A-H, plus the wow conjunction in interrogative particle, translated behold, higeh, exclamatory, H-I-G-G-E-H. And he looked and behold, and then we have our verb here, dried up. Our same verb in the first part of the verse, cow perfect third common plural, karav, C-H-A-R-A-B. The B in the Hebrew, the soft is like a V. I know somebody was just sitting there that was driving them nuts. Karav is how you pronounce it. The surface of the ground. Surface is our normal term we see for surface of the earth, face, common both plural construct, paneh, P-A-N-E-H. The ground here, rather than eretz, we have the definite article on our word adama, common feminine singular absolute, A-D-A-M-A-H. Then verse 14, we have our second chronological notation. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Wow conjunction, preposition bait, our word for month, common masculine singular absolute, kodesh, C-H-O-D-E-S-H. Definite article, this one being the second month, the second one, adjective masculine singular absolute, shani, S-H-E-N-I-Y. On the 27th day of the month, you had the preposition bait again. Then first you had the adjective, the cardinal adjective, feminine singular absolute for seven or seventh, sheba, S-H-E-B-A, sheva, wow conjunction. And then our number 20, adjective, both plural absolute, esarim, E-S-E-R-I-Y-M. Follow with our noun for day, common masculine singular absolute, yom, Y-O-M. On the 7th and 20th day, literally, to the month, specifically, you have the preposition lamed, definite article, then kodesh, repeated. Then we have our drying verb here, cow, perfect third, feminine singular, Yabash, Y-A-B-A-S-H. To be completely dried can be translated wither, to be absolutely free of moisture. In the definite article, common common feminine singular absolute, or word for earth, again, Eretz, E-R-E-T-S. In the paragraph, Selah, in the Masoretic. All right. Rereading the two verses here. Now it came about in the 601st year, on the first of the month, that the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. Our verb, harav, in verse 14, and in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was yabash, completely dried up. Was verse 14. All right, analysis verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14 may seem redundant and even contradictive in the English translation, unless a studious reader. Obviously, in the English, it looks like you have two different dates of the earth being dried up. And obviously contradictive in this presentation. But it gives us certain chronological notations for one who obviously will study in the original language. Two, both verses observe that the earth was dry and on different dates. Three, however, in the Hebrew, each verse uses a different verb for dried up, karav, used two times in verse 13, and then our verb dry in verse 14, yabash. All right, looking at the two verbs here. For the first verb, karav, is a cognate of the noun karav. That means sword. And it is used, as we saw back in 324, the sword, revolving sword, guarding the Garden of Eden. It's used in also in that way, 2740. And by your sword, Carib, 3126. Laban said to Jacob, what have you done by deceiving me and carried away my daughters like captives of the sword? 3425. Came about on the third day when they were in the plain that two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, that'll be fun, Dinah's brothers, each took his carib, his sword, and came upon the city unawares and killed every male. Great believers in the witness of the life. And many other uses or translations of the word sword. So what are we looking at here as it's used in regards to the waters dried up? Five, it has a nuance of water separating from the earth or ground, Eretz or Alama, as it may be. So we see a separation between the two. They are gaining their own distinct property as water or earth. Six, yet the ground remains wet, muddy, or soggy. We might say waterlogged. Seven, this verb emphasizes the process of evaporating moisture rather than its complete absence of moisture, such as its use in Genesis 31:40, in regards to being outside in the heat of the day and of the sun, thus I was. In regards to Jacob here, by day the heat consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. The idea there is the heat consumed him dry. It simply means that he became dehydrated. Obviously, he didn't come completely dehydrated. This is over exaggeration, if you will, in regards to his physical condition. So, but it emphasizes the body dehydrating from heat and not being replenished with the hydro element necessary for the body, which the body is made up of predominantly water, liquid. So, 8. Now, the second verb, yavash, means to be absolutely dry. 9. It is the cognate, in the family, when you say cognate, you're looking at the same family of words. It is a cognate of the noun yavesh, which was used of the appearance of Pangaea in restoration in Genesis 1:9, the appearance of dry land from the watery earth, that the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. So 10, so verse 13, our first one here in the chronological notation, focuses on the flood condition when the waters had all abated into their settled basins. In other words, the primary oceans, lakes, rivers, ponds, etc. Are now formed. Yet the remaining ground was still waterlogged, swampy, if you will, in regards to its condition. Probably the kind of muddiness that would suck your shoe off if you stood in it or step in it. You've ever had that happen to you. 11, then verse 14, then observed the earth after the water had completely evaporated and the remaining ground was in the condition that one could walk on it without moisture on their feet. Just as in the Exodus, crossing the Gulf of Aqaba, Red Sea, using the cognate term Yavesh. Exodus 14, 16, and 21. They didn't have to walk across on muddy soil. God completely dried out the soil for the Red Sea crossing. And our term, the cognate term used here, Exodus 14, 16, and as for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea, Moses, and divide it. The sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. Yavesh. Then 21, 22, and 29, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord swept the sea back by the strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. The wind dehydrated the soil, so the waters were divided. 22, the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, Yavesh. The walls of waters were like walls of them on the right and left hand. 29, sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Obvious, a great obvious miracle. Scientists always trying to explain it in a natural way, how it could be possible. Let them scratch their heads. Then verse 19 of chapter 15, for the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and the horsemen went into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them as it swallowed them up. Hence the Pharaoh of Moses' time is the Pharaoh which you will find no record of in regards to the Egyptian pharaohs and kings. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. So, there's your difference of terms. One indicates conditions still muddy, swampy, not anything one would want to try to live on in that condition, especially for farming and things of this nature. And then the other looks at normal conditions of dry land that is habitable and useful otherwise. 12, we are then given two chronological notations concerning each stage of dryness. So we have the two conditions coupled with the two chronological notations. 13, the notations advance the narrative from the preceding verses. 37 to 93 days since the dove did not return in verse 12. So in Noah's preceding investigation, reconnaissing the conditions of the planet, and the dove maintained his freedom and did not return. In verse 13, we advance another month, 7 days into the future. The final, verse 14, we go on another until some 93 days have passed since the dove had not returned, some 3 months. So, while on the surface it may have looked like the earth was ready for the passengers to go out and start reproducing, etc., and living, truly it was not yet. So, 14, now verse 13, the first notation, highlights 1-1-601 of Noah's life. His 601st birthday, first day, first month after his 601st birthday. 15, this encompasses exactly one full year since Noah's 600th birthday, referenced as a year of the flood, as we saw back in chapter 7, verse 2. Not verse 2, verse 6. Now, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the water came upon the earth. That was a general notation chronologically of the year of Noah's existence when the flood came. We know that it was not actually initiated until the second month of the 600th year. But we have kind of a reference back to that date. So it brings into view here a one-year scenario. It is on this date that then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface had reappeared as ground, as I would translate it, though still very wet and soggy. So, almost, if you will, as a birthday present, Noah removes the covering, which obviously is reference to the door that Yahweh had sealed on their behalf, and for the first time has a full view of the conditions around him. And the thing that he can notice is that the ground is still very swampy. But he sees the ground, so it would bring about elation to help continue on in the patient's test. So 17, one full year, Noah and company remained cooped up in the ark with no egress, with no exit. Removing the door, obviously, probably stepped out, checked it out, area, etc. But there is no sudden move or exit in regards to him, his family, or the passengers otherwise leaving the ark. the one full year that they cooped up actually is brought about in regards to the next verse, but we have the 1 year notation of birthdays for Noah, if you will, as setting the common denominator of the time in view, 1 year. So 18, the covering of the ark, which is Mekesa HaTebah in the Hebrew, obviously looks to the door that Yahweh had sealed on the passenger's behalf back in chapter 7, verse 16. 19, the sight of flood waters gone, even in the valleys, must have been most exhilarating. Look, the world is turning back to normal. To be in a chaotic situation and then find yourself back where everything is normal, in routine, etc., is very relaxing, generally speaking, in regards to one's attitude to life in and of itself. So obviously to have the door open, to finally open it, to take a look, after being cooped up that long, it would be like being in jail for that many months, and somebody says, all right, you can step outside for a little bit and get some fresh air. 20, yet the ground still was not conducive to habitation and travel. Not in the swampy, muddy, soggy conditions that it still existed. 21, that chronological footnote is advanced in verse 14, now some 56 more days post verse 13. After waiting 37 days, the dove, having not returned, opening the door, and he waits another 56 days for verse 14 to become a reality. So 22, on 2/27/601, second month, 27th day, following his 601st birthday. All surface groundwater has evaporated enough to make departure from the ark feasible for all its passengers. Now the earth is in the proper condition that they can reestablish residence in regards to living a normal life. As it may be. So 23, the chronological significance, verse 14, indicates the full time that the ark's occupants remained resident aboard the ark. While the door was down, obviously stretch of legs, if you will, outside the ark, they still maintained their residence, their, if you will, sanctuary, home, in the ark at this point in time, without the animals freeing themselves, leaving the ark otherwise. So 24, this being 1 year and 11 days since the initiation of the flood back in 711, which is the second month's 17th day of the 600 year. That day, on that 17th day, that's when you got to start counting, including that day. So this being 1 year, 11 days since initiation of the flood, or the flood beginning. 25, the 12 months and 11 days, as it would count out on the calendar, equates to the exact period of 12 lunar months, which would be 354 days, with the solar year of 365 days, as you add the 12 or the 11 additional days to it, you go from lunar year to a solar year. A lunar month is 30.14, something like that, days. So by the time the end of it, you have 11 days added to the lunar months, and you have actually a full solar year. So 26, so the entire occupancy of the ark lasted one solar year. 27, patience, patience, patience. An ultimate deliverance for Noah and company. And obviously, you can't overemphasize the necessity of that patience being in that situation. A situation, obviously, that was their salvation, but at the same time, in the deliverance, it was a great test of fortitude, perseverance, faith resting, and waiting upon God.